prayer. Lead us into worship, Father, and just guide us this morning, Lord. I pray that we all are just able to lay down any problems we're having, any thoughts we're having, Lord. This is the time where we're just focusing solely on you, Father. Help us just to enter your rest, Lord, and your peace. And I just pray, Lord, that you just fill us with such joy, Lord God. Even no matter what our circumstances are, Father, that we just fill that joy. Fill us up, Lord God. Give us understanding, Lord. I just pray that you lead us. Ourselves and we can do everything by ourselves, or our friends are going to help us. Lord God, we could be failed so many different times, Lord.
What the heck is going on?
But Lord God, you'd never fail us, Father. Help us to run to you first, Lord. Help us to not put that so much pressure on ourselves or on other people to be our Savior. We have a Savior. We have Jesus, our strength, Lord. You are so mighty and so wonderful, Father. I thank you, Lord. I'm going to take this time, Lord. And I pray that everyone takes this time, Father, just to recognize and just to praise you for those times that you've helped us, Father. The time that you helped us with either addictions, Lord God, or immorality that we were living, Lord. Just giving us guidance, Lord God. I praise you, Father. I thank you for all of the things that you've given to me in my life, Lord God, whether it be putting me in the fire, Lord, and refining me, Father. I thank you for that, Lord. Will belong to no other but you, Father. And for the things that you have set forth for us, Lord God, I pray that we submit to those things, Lord God. Nobody likes the word submit. But Father, I have grown to love that word. Because every time I submit to you, Father, you only have good things for me, Lord God. As my Father in heaven, you know what's best for me, Father. Help us to submit, Lord God. Help us to lay down our wants and our will, Lord God, for yours, Father. Help us not to say it, Lord God, but to truly live it, Father. So that when we're living our submission, Lord God, others will see it and say, I want to submit too. What a beautiful word.
Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, the new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God is in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not counting their transgressions against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ.
There's no slide for this one, but we thought we would just add the chorus of an awesome song that I truly believe. How your freedom is so beautiful. And how those addictions and those things that hold on to them, to us, Lord God, they're just weighing us down from being able to run, Father, from being able to be free, Lord God. And I just want to say that freedom is so much more amazing than anything that the world has to offer. what the world has to offer is like picking up a already chewed piece of gum off the sidewalk. Oh. That's for us. We don't want that. The things that God can give us are heavenly and beautiful and draw us near to Him. And we're never alone, ever. We're His sanctuary where His Spirit can dwell. And I know that's what I'm going to be. I want to be a place, Lord God, where Your Spirit runs free. And I pray that to do that, Lord God, that You help me clean out every junky thing inside of me, Father. And I have a lot of it. I'm still cleaning it out, Lord. But You don't ask us to be perfect to come to You, Lord God. You say, come as You are. And then You can change us, Father. I pray if there's anyone here that says, I want it. I just want to get a few more things in order. I pray, Lord God, that You help them see that that's just a lie from Satan. That they just come to You right now, Lord God, and say, I'm ready, and I'm ready to listen, and I'm ready to submit, and I'm ready to do whatever I have to do, Father. Because I am done with all of this junk the world's given me. Our strength and belief in the Lord. when we are able to get past those little trials and say, Lord, I'm going to trust in you, that when those big trials come, we can reflect and say, Lord, I've been tried through this before. Maybe not in such a big venue of it, Lord, but God, I know that because you've helped me during these times, you're going to help me during these times.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our faith needs to be tried and needs to be true. And I can say, Father, I'm thankful for those small trials. Lord, and those big trials, Lord, and those trials that are going to come, Father, and those obstacles that are to come, Lord God, help me to be faithful, Lord. And help me have that trust.
Father God, I thank you for loving us so much that you did die, sacrifice for us. You love us so much that you don't leave us like this, but you are continuously refining us, drawing us closer to you, Lord God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. It is to come.
Yes, thank you.
We worship you this day. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
A couple things before I forget. I want to make sure that actually, you know what? Do you mind if I take a minute and pray? Feeling a little out of sorts this morning. I'm not exactly sure why, so forgive me. So I'm here like, man, how many times did you pray? You want to pray a lot. Our request unto God. So, Father God, we just give you this time, Lord God, that you, even as we go into announcements, as we go into the Word, that you would lead every aspect by your Holy Spirit, Lord God. That you would help us just to walk in step with you, Lord God. Lord, I pray that only those things that you would want said would be said, Lord God. And you would restrain where you need to restrain, but Lord, give boldness where you need to give boldness. But in all things, you would give love, Lord God. I pray that your word, Lord God, would be anointed and would not return void, Lord, but accomplish the purpose you set it out for. I thank you that you have ordained each person to be here today, Lord. I don't even know who's sick and who's, I know some are on vacation, some are sick, Lord God, but you brought people here that you want them to hear a message today. So I ask that you would speak to each one of us, Lord God. Not to our neighbor, not to our husband, not to our wife, not to our kids, but to me, to us, Lord. We want to receive all that you have for us. So give us an open heart, a willingness to hear your word and to respond correctly. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.
Yes,
thank you. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Okay. Couple things before we get started. One of those is, Lester did a teaching. Lester and Peggy came up, and they did a teaching last week, God's Call, His Purpose, Power, and Passion. And so if you did not hear that message, we would like to give you a copy of it in Jesus' name. We want to encourage you. So if you just raise your hand, it's not fancy CDs like that, but okay, good. Anybody else? Okay. Oh, hey.
Back in the back.
Okay. Come around. All right. Good. Anybody else?
Okay.
Oh, we're going to have to make some more. We ran out.
Pastor Darren.
Yes.
You would like right now.
Yes, you would like one, but we just ran out, so I'll give you this one instead. This is easy. I got one extra. All right. Thanks, guys. Okay. Also, before I forget, we've got at my office at Panera. We've got about 40 loaves of bread from last night, about 10 o'clock. I mean, if you can see them right by back of Jen in the orange shirt, there's actually two or three bags filled with big loaves, French baguettes, 40 loaves. This is all natural bread, so it's not going to stay forever. There's no preservatives in it. So if everybody would take at least a loaf to go home before you leave today, that would be great. Otherwise, we're going to be eating bread for the next 4 or 5 days. And it's good stuff. It's good stuff. So just receive it as a gift. It's free in Jesus' name. Feel free to take what you need, okay?
Do we have any fish sticks we can snap in half?
We have no fish sticks.
Great job.
Oh, man. I love this church. Also, we want to... we're going to also do something else here. I'd like to call up Lester Peggy, if you can grab the baby. And then also, where is... Do not be afraid. Come forward. Hector, come forward.
Just in case.
We're gonna pray for these folks in just a second. As you know, Peggy and Lester are going to be going back to be hopefully to sell their house very quickly in Jesus' name. As they also already have bought a property here, they're going to be selling their place down in Zimbabwe, where they've been for 45 years as missionaries, a long time. We're going to take a minute and pray for them, and I'm going to ask if anybody feels specifically led to come up and pray over this couple. If you feel led, prompted by the Lord, I want you to come up and do that. We want to pray them off. This is their last Sunday, so we want to pray that for safety, for God's will and God's blessing, and maybe a little selfishly that they sell it quickly and come back. It's a little selfish. But also, we're going to also be praying for Hector as well, as he's got a job. Was it Antarctica or Kansas? What was it? Kansas. So Hector Marlene will be moving. Hector's going up there now, and then Marlene is going to be following in a few months. And so we also want to pray for Brady. We also want to pray for him. So come on over here, you guys. Does anybody feel led to pray for either one of these? The Lord's prompting you. We want to give you opportunity. If the Holy Spirit's moving in your heart, you're welcome to come up here and take the mic and just pray. I know that's scary, but if the Lord's prompting you, we want you, for either of these folks, we want you to come up and do it. Otherwise, I'm going to pray for them, but we want to give you the opportunity if you feel the Holy Spirit's leading you. Sure. Now, afterwards, I felt like the Lord was prompting me to pray, but I was too nervous. Anybody?
Yes.
Okay.
Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every name. And Lord, we pray for Hector as he's making this long move from this fellowship. Lord, we thank you for the open doors. We thank you, Father, that you will place him not only in the job, but in a spiritual environment out there, that, Lord, that he will continue to grow, and that, Lord, you can use him also for your honor and glory. Lord, I pray that you will take care of all the details and the finances that concern them in this move. And, Lord, we ask that you will give them safety as they travel, and, Lord, that from time to time we may have the joy of reunion. But if not, Lord, we look for that eternal home when we're all together. So, Lord, keep them walking steadfastly before you. And Father, use them for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right. Lester and Peggy, anybody?
I hope you do.
Well, that baby's getting passed around a lot.
Sure. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. Father God, it's very intimidating for me to be standing here praying for these amazing individuals, Father, and I just thank you that it doesn't matter our qualifications, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you just want us to trust in you and to pray. And Father God, I just ask that you would go before Lester and Peggy, God, and that you would prepare the way. I pray that you would just put your angels around about them, Father God, keeping them in every way. Father God, do not let them stumble, Father God. Fight their battles ahead of time. Father, we pray for favor. We pray for favor with travel. Pray for favor with airlines, Father God, and with just working out all of their little last-minute details, God. I just pray that when they get back to their home and Africa, Lord, that they would find things in order, Father God, that your angels are just taking care of all those details, Lord, and that their home here, Father, would be protected as well from thieves, Father, from weather, Lord God. Just keep things here safe as well, Father God. Lord, I pray for their family as their children are still here in the States, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would protect them as well, Father, until they can all be together again, Lord. And thank you, Father, for this amazing couple. Lord, thank you that you've brought them into our lives for just such a time as this, whether it's for long or for short, Father God. Thank you that they have certainly touched us and they have certainly impacted our lives, Father. And please bless them. Bless the works of their hands into your presence, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your angels to surround them and comfort them, Lord God. In Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to give you a hug too. Come here. Okay, so nobody else is allowed to leave. We put a little mandatory. Some elder folks will have to keep their seats warm. Yeah, I just really felt like thank you for praying, you guys. I just prepared the way. That was what the Lord was putting on my heart, too, you know. And so I think that was just so led of the Lord. Anyway, a couple of quick announcements, and we'll get right into the Word, okay? God's Not Dead 2 in theaters. If you haven't seen it, we just want to encourage you to do so. Again, we just saw it with the youth. It was excellent. January, February, March, April, May. Okay, good. Big Daddy Leave. Where's Chantel? May 20th, 7 p.m. Over at Woodland. Tickets are $21. And so if you'd like to see that concert. Also, I just want to say, I was so proud of this little church. Yeah. We had probably, you know, going to see, supporting Anne over there at Green Gables and her bosom pal.
With an E.
Anne with an E, right. And her bosom pal, Olivia. We had at least, I would say, 30 people just from our fellowship. And then they brought their family and then they brought their friends. It was really amazing. I kept seeing another person after another. So thank you for supporting. It was a great evening. They did an awesome job. It was really amazing. A couple people have asked me for some sermons, the last few in Romans. I thought one didn't get copied, but actually two of the last Romans didn't get copied. So just so you guys know ahead of time, the rest are online. We're going to recap some of that stuff since it's been a couple weeks, since Tom did it on worry and anxiety, which is another good sermon. That one copied nice. And so that's online as well at homefellowshipchurch.com. If you'd like to join us for prayer Sunday mornings here at 9 a.m. before the service, we'd love to have you. Also, the first Monday of each month at 7 p.m., there's a chronic support group. And if you're interested in that, you can call Carrie at 749-1830. And if you're experiencing pain.
Carrie's in with the kids this morning in prayer. She's concerned that there's a couple people that feel like they should be there, but they're going to be reluctant.
Okay.
And so she wanted to encourage whoever these people are.
Okay.
The Lord leads you to be there. I'm going to be there.
Okay, good. Yes. Carrie's a wonderful woman of the Lord, and so it's very welcoming. And so I know that she'd love to have you. So if you're experiencing some chronic illness or pain or fatigue and you just want some encouragement in the Lord, we'd love for you to have you. I know she would too. So please come. It's a good word. Men's Bible study, yes? Okay, men's Bible study. We're going through the book of 1 Samuel, the character study on the life of David. And we're meeting here at 6 p.m. for dinner, 5:30 Frisbee, 6 p.m. dinner, and then 6:30 Bible study. Anything you want to say about that one?
Mobile pork for dinner, and then we're going to learn about how easy it is to fall and how good it is to be taught back home.
Good word. Good word. Awesome. So, guys, you are absolutely invited and welcome to come out for dinner and the Bible study. Okay? That's Tuesday, 6 p.m. Also, whosoever's youth group, Madison County Youth for Christ, 6:30 to 8:30. All the teens are welcome out there, of course. And then I think this Friday, if I'm not mistaken, is intimate prayer night here, and that's from 6:30 to roughly 8 o'clock. Yes, or whenever the Spirit is. Yeah. Well, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, so we'd like you to come out here if you'd like to pray for the body or pray for one another or to get prayed for. Okay, I think that is it. All right, we are in the book of Romans. Hezekiah, Joe, can you grab some of these Bibles here? One go one way. Yep. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. And Joe and Joe, and happy Hezekiah, we'll deliver one right to you. We're Word of God pushers here. So you will need a Bible here. Romans chapter uno. For our Spanish speaking friends. Okay, it feels like it's been a while since I've been up here.
It has been.
All right, since a few of these didn't, we're going to probably start in verse 18, but in verse 16 we were talking about not being ashamed of the gospel, excuse me, Romans chapter 1, we're going to start off in verse 18, but Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes." We have the good news. We don't have good views. We have the good news, the saving grace of Jesus Christ. We talked about how God doesn't want us to be ashamed of the gospel, and Jesus is not ashamed of you. So why should you be ashamed of him? Yes, honey.
I actually did not see anything.
Can you hit those lights, Sergio?
Thank you.
Mucho better. Mucho better. It might be to get a new light up on the... All right, anyway, Jesus isn't ashamed of you. It says in Hebrews 2:11, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family. So Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers or sisters. He's talking about you. He's talking about me. If the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords can love us in our sinful condition, right? Right? And he's not ashamed. I would think, man, that'd be kind of me, you know, Darren. Really? How much more should we not be ashamed of him and his word? Amen? The creator of the universe, one who died for us and loves us? Mark 8:38 says, this is, we did this at youth, man. This was pretty powerful. I don't know who stood up. There's about, I don't know, at least 20 some odd people there. And Mark 8:38 says, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with his holy angels. That's a sobering statement, isn't it? Think about that. And I just told the youth, I said, you know what? We need to take a stand. Are you ashamed of his words? This culture is trying to undermine his word. Mm-hmm. The whole thing. That's what they're trying to do. They're attacking the foundations of the word. Are you going to be ashamed to stand with Jesus and to stand upon the rock and to stand upon his word, regardless of what who says what, or what culture says, or what the president says? Do you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I just closed my eyes, and I don't know who stood up and who didn't, but I just said, you need to take a stand right now, even in this group. Stand now. Are you willing to stand? And I think it's time is here, yes, where you have to be willing to take that stand, regardless of the cost. We have to be as church, and we have to be as individuals. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Paul said, don't be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord. Don't be ashamed of it. or me, he said, rather join me in the suffering for the gospel, the power of God, 2 Timothy 1:8. Peter said in 4:16, he said, if you suffer as a Christian, don't be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. If you get made fun of, if you get mocked, if they're mocking you for standing on the word of God or believing what God says about something, so what? You are blessed, the Bible says. You are a recipient of God's divine favor when you stand firm for him. So don't be ashamed. Who do you trust in? In Romans, as we're going through now from 18 to the end of the chapter, you're going to see it's kind of a rough chapter because it's delivering a message. There's a message in the book of Romans of salvation, man, exploring God's remedy. But before you give a remedy for something, before you give the cure, you have to first let the people know that they're what? That they're sick. There's a problem. They're in need of a cure. If I went to Kim and I said, Kim, it's amazing news. I have a cure for Rickinson's disease. It's 100% cure for Rickinson's disease. Isn't that amazing? What would you think? Great. Yeah. And your facial expression says it all. Yeah. Now, if I said, as a doctor, Kim, I have some terrible news for you. Kim, we've done this research. We've checked your blood. We've done the x-rays. You've got Rickinson's disease. And it's fatal 100% of the time. And you only have a few days to live. But the good news is we have a cure that can save you. Now, how would your attitude then be, you think? On your knees praising God. Well, that's why we have to go through these next chapters of Romans, because it's basically showing us that all of us are in need of a Savior. Whether you're a moral person, an immoral person, we all need the Lord. And so here we go. Just in verse 20, we're going to see, as we talked about a little bit last week, that it says that God gave them the information. In verse 20, it says that since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood that what he has made, so that men are without excuse. So God has given us the information. It says the heavens declare the glory of God, right? It's pouring forth speech. In verse 21 and 22, you'll see that God gives folks opportunity. He gives them opportunity to be saved. It's God's will that none should perish, right? Not one person here wants that none should perish. All should come to repentance. That's our God's how. So he gives them opportunity. But you're going to find it's going to show in here that they chose, like you read in the gospel, that they chose darkness instead of the light. And their foolish hearts were darkened. We're going to see that God gave them up in verse 26 or 27. The King James Version, ESV, says up. I like that. He gave them up. And that's, if God, you want to go that way? Okay, let's see. Why don't you test it out and see how it goes? And then finally, in verse 28, this is a terrifying thing. God's terrifyingly fair. If you want to go that direction, finally, he gives them over to their sin. And that's a terrible place to be. But there is hope and there's a remedy. So let's go through some of these scriptures. Just a quick review for us. All right. I'm going to need that light for a second, JoJo. Thanks. So in verse 18, would somebody read that for me? Josh, would you mind?
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. Verse 18.
You can go 92.
For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them.
Right. So here we go, the wrath of God. Now everybody loves to talk about the love of God and the forgiveness of God, and honestly, I do too. I mean, it's a wonderful thing to talk about that. But people get in this mind that God is just this lovey, squishy, huggy little foam doll that we hug and squeeze, and that's it. That's what God is. But God is those things. He is love, but there's also wrath. It's the justice of God. God is all loving, but he's also just and he's holy, right? And so because of men's wickedness, the wrath is coming. And we talked about there's different kinds of wrath in the Bible. There's eternal wrath, that's hell. There's eschatological wrath, that's when the end times, you know, the come and happen. But there's also the wrath of God that comes from like a consequential wrath. And that's when God lets you go your own way. Remember Galatians 6, 7 to 8? It says God won't be mocked. A man or a woman is going to reap what they sow. If you want to sow to the flesh and to your sinful nature, that's where you're going to reap from. But if you want to sow to the Spirit, God's going to reap eternal life in you. And joy and peace and patience and goodness. That's who He is. But if you want to go that way, God will not force you to be saved. He won't. It says, the wrath of God is coming. You know, there's a verse in Numbers 14. Give me just a second to get there. I'm going to read it to you. Numbers 14:16. Everybody loves the first part of it, but nobody does the end. It says, the Lord is slow to anger, abounding in love, and forgiving sin and rebellion. Woohoo! So that means we can just do what we want. Yeah. Right? You know, but then it also goes on to say that same verse, yet He does not leave the guilty unpunished. That's why we need Jesus. That's why we need the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse us from all sin. Because the wrath of God is coming. And it's being revealed against all godlessness and wickedness. So godlessness is just sins against God, and wickedness is just sins against men. Just picture Moses coming down from Mount Sinai. We talked about this like a few weeks ago. And I don't know if he did it this way, but imagine the first four Ten Commandments on one side, and those are all the sins against the Lord, you know, that we can commit against the Lord. You know, honor the Lord thy God, you know, do not make it. And then you've got on the other hand the other six. Don't covet your neighbor's wife, do not lie, blah, 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 blah. But you know what I'm saying. And those are sins against man. And it says, who suppress the truth. And that Greek word again is kateko. And that means, is a nautical term, if you remember. And that picture we are on the ocean. Okay? And you're sailing your vessel, and the current is going this way. The Holy Spirit, God is trying to move you along this way. Okay? And He's moving you along. He's encouraging you. He's giving you the wind. The current is moving. He wants you to go this direction. And those who suppress the truth, that kateko, it's a nautical term in Greek, and it means to hold. And so what you're doing is you're taking that helm and you're holding on to it. And you're suppressing the truth, you're holding on to it, and you're saying you want to go this direction. And God's saying, no, 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 I want you to go my way. I want you to go this way. And you choose to force yourself to go the old way, your own way. That's what that means, to suppress the truth. It means to hold, or to hold down. I gave the illustration of my kids, right? We had that big laundry bin, and my kid, one of my older kids, scared the other older kid. He's hiding in it, you know, as he dumps all the clothes in there. Ah! And scared the snot out of him. And then my other kid, after the... That was funny. Decided to take the lid, slam it down on the other big kid, and sit on it. And hold it down. And that's what people are doing. They're holding down the truth. They're holding back the truth. When people are rejecting the truth, they're holding it down. I mean, you have to fight against the stream. You have to fight against the current. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet, their voice goes out into all the world. And their words to the ends of the world. Man, God's intelligent design is everywhere. And if you ever talk to an atheist, or someone who's really mad against God, and he's got every intellectual argument, if you've ever done this, some of you know this, you get right down to it, you find out, what are they really mad at God about? Something happened to them, God didn't come through for them, there was a death here, something happened where they're mad at God. And so they're going to suppress that truth. I'm not going to see it. I'm not going to look at it. That's what it really is, and that's what we need to make sure we're not doing the same thing. It says in verse 20, actually, Josh, would you continue reading? Sorry, I'm going through all this, but part of this is a recap on YouTube. So.
For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world, and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse.
And without excuse, I mean, basically that just means that a person is conscious of the existence of God's power. I mean, your without excuse means that if you will acknowledge him in some way, right where you're at, if you will take those steps to acknowledge God, he will get someone to you. He will present himself to you. Mm-hmm. You know, think about, and I don't know if I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but I mean, I think about the people in Zimbabwe. There were people out there desiring to know the Lord. And God sends these American missionaries to come down there, these kids, as we saw in that video, with nothing. Nada. And they stay for 45 years to train up others to preach the gospel and to encourage others in that land. Isn't that amazing to you?
Thank you, Jesus.
Who did... Now, did you guys just do... Maybe... Did God call you to go on there? Or did you just go, I don't know, we can live our own life with the Lord. Let's just go to Zimbabwe. I'm guessing that God put it upon your heart to go down there.
Yes.
Because he knew. Think of that Roman centurion, right? Remember, he says it in Acts chapter 10, he was a God-fearing man, loved the Lord, gave to the poor, and God spoke to him in a vision and said, hey, send for Peter and Joppa. I want you to bring them back. At the same time, Peter's having this vision saying that not to reject anything that I've called clean. And these Gentiles come into this Jewish home, knocking on the door, and he says, hey, there's going to be, God says, there's going to be some people, Peter, that's going to come for you. I want you to follow them. And so here these Gentiles come to the door and say, hey, God sent us here. And so Peter goes, and the whole family gets saved. See, God arranged that. Or the Ethiopian eunuch, he did the same thing, didn't he? God said, Acts chapter 6 or 8, God told him to just go down, Philip, to just go down the road, and just by obedience, step by step, God sent them to that eunuch, right? Who just happened to be, that divine appointment, reading the Bible from the Old Testament. Hey, do you know what you're reading? No, I sure don't. Hey, would you like me to explain to you? Yeah, why not? Get saved, and the rest is history. See, if people are, God will do that. This book right here, I love this book. This is from Voice of the Martyrs. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Voice of the Martyrs. They deal a lot with the persecuted church. And there's a book by Tom Doyle called Dreams and Visions. Amazing, amazing, amazing. God is appearing to the Muslim world in droves. How many of you have read this book? Raise your hand. Okay. Yeah.
Amazing.
What would you say?
Amazing.
Amazing. God's reaching people that have a heart for him, appearing to them in dreams and visions.
Yes, exactly.
And people are getting saved. It's amazing. If anyone hasn't read Dreams and Vision by Tom Doyle, great, great little book. But God will do that.
Hey, Darren?
Yes.
You know, he's doing it today. Friday night, we went out with you.
That's right.
And I was one of the counselors. And I don't know, there must have been 50 or 60 youth came forward. And one of them that just happened to be in my group was from Lexington, Kentucky. And that's where he was headed back to. And he needed to get plugged into Lexington, Kentucky.
Which is where, for those who don't
know, I have been for the last 5 years. So I made a phone call to my friend who is plugged in up there, who happens to be one of my Timothys, and he is getting in touch with Peyton, and Peyton is getting in touch with him. So, I mean, you know, this happens here today, right now.
That's right. That's right down the street at Green River High School. We had Josh was there. I think Josh and Mark and Amanda Panda were leading people to Christ this Friday. right down the road. Isn't that neat that God puts you right with the person who meets from Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky?
Yeah.
Who does that? That's supernatural. That's our God. That's who he is. Nothing's too hard for him. Is his arm too short to save?
No.
No, so don't worry. What about the pygmies in New Guinea? God can take care of them. He can get the message. Don't you worry. What about the thing, little chicken wing? Anyway, let's keep going. We gotta do the new stuff, so let's move on. I'm gonna try to shut up here. You know how that goes.
For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things.
Hey, you can stop right there for a second. Thanks, Doug. We talked about some of these things, you know. These things have been clearly things. Hit the lights, JoJo. Again, just really quickly, no one would think this came by evolution, wind, water erosion, our presidents of the United States here. Nobody would do that. It's a designer made this. It's intelligent design. No one would think this watch, if you found it on a beach, just happened to get there. Right? Someone had to intelligently design it. The sand would have had to crystallize over a billion years and smooth out as glass, and then somehow those little intricate numbers there, the dates, the days, the month would have happened by wind and erosion, and maybe an animal gnawing, a cow would have had to die for the watch strip, you know, and make a little leather band and somebody gnaw little holes in it. You wouldn't think that. This is just why it evolved over millions of years. You would say, wow, somebody dropped their watch. Somebody made this and they dropped it. Hieroglyphics. So they discovered this in Egypt, and they found out there's a whole, you see these pictures, there's a whole alphabet. Mm-hmm. Now, nobody thought, wow, that's so neat. All these pictures of owls and people and houses, and they go together and they realize it formed an alphabet. That happened over millions of years.
Beautiful.
And it formed an alphabet, and there happened to be on this all these walls writings and stories told in hieroglyphics. It must have just happened over millions of years of evolution. No one would think that. They would think, wow, there must be an intelligent design behind this code, behind this language. Sir Frederick Hoyle, the English astronomer and mathematician at the Institute of Astronomy at Cambridge, who actually coined the term Big Bang Theory, once said, "The odds of even the simplest cell forming by chance are like believing that a tornado sweeping through a junkyard could assemble a Boeing 747 from the materials therein."
Well, that would be cool,
though. It was. But who are you going to trust? You know, the world's going to tell you one thing. Satan's pushing the whole world one direction. And it's going to sound good. But Jesus is telling you something else. In 1 John 5:9-12, it just says, you know, we accept man's testimony. But it says that God's testimony is greater. So who are you going to choose? You can choose whatever you want to do. But for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to stand on the Word of God. And I'm asking you, begging you, to do the same. Because the enemy will try to undermine it through erosion. And that house will fall. Talk about giving thanks to the Lord. That's what we're supposed to do in all situations. It's His will for you in Christ Jesus, is what 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says. But those people, their hearts became darkened. They didn't want the light. Ephesians 4:17-19 says, "So I tell you this, then insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking." Listen to this. They have darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of their ignorance that is in them due to the what?
Hardening
of their hearts. Wow. And having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so to indulge in every kind of impurity. Wow. Yeah.
Sticking with the nautical thing, I got put in my head, you know, how you stay there. There's a type of motor. What kind of motor? You can just push a trolling motor, an electronic trolling motor. That you can just push a button, and it will keep you in the exact same spot. I just thought I'd, you know, complicated in my mind.
Well, you know what? There's a really great... you have a really great engine in us if you're saved. And that's the Holy Spirit. And he's given us his word, and that will keep you going in the right same spot. So when it comes down, if man's telling you one thing, if I tell you something that's contrary to the word, don't listen to it. This is where you stand. Don't be ashamed of it. People think they're so wise and this doctrine and this. Listen, stop deceiving yourself, 1 Corinthians 3:18 to 19. If you think you're wise by the world standard, then you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. Yep. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I told you about Watson and Crick, who discovered DNA, and it was so complex and so intricate that he thought that it had to be aliens that did it. Still would have given glory to God. It was right. Well, he didn't go that far. But DNA is the blueprint for all life, the densest storage system in the universe. DNA information, the size of the head of a pin, would fill an entire, you know, one of those big, really big dictionaries? And it would fill it up. But not only that, it would fill it up, that dictionary, stacked to the moon. 500 times. That's how much information, complex code, goes into that DNA on the head of a pin. That's amazing. That's our God. We talked about laminin, how that's the cell adhesion module that holds everything together. Just happens to be in the shape of a cross. How odd is that? You think God's maybe trying to give us these little pictures of this? Of his word? His word says the Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven, things on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, powers, rulers, authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, Colossians says, and in him all things hold together. Is that not amazing? I love it. There's a this guy is a former president of the New York Academy of Sciences, Cressy Morrison. And he had said, by unwavering mathematical law, we can prove that our universe was designed and executed by a great engineering intelligence. And he gave an example of 10 pennies. He said, if I had 10 pennies in my hand, okay, and we were on, you know, have you been in New York? You know how they always do those, they set up little tables, they do those little cup things and stuff like that, okay? So if I had 10 pennies, and I'm up there, you come up to the table, and I've got a number written on each one of those pennies, 1 to 10. And I said, here they are, put them in your hand, jumble them up, put them in your pocket or your purse, jumble them all up, and I pick out one penny, and I pick out the number one. You'd be pretty impressed with that. I said, I'm going to pick out number one. And I reach in your purse, and not stealing your wallet, I reach in your purse, and take out penny with the number one on it. You'd be pretty impressed with that, wouldn't you? There's a 1 in 10 chance. If I said, okay, put it back in, now I'm going to take and I'm going to grab penny two. Put it back, I'll put them all back in there. I'm going to grab one and then penny two. Well, that's 1 in 100 chance. And then if I did that 3 times, well, that's 1 in 1,000. Now, if I did that all the way to 10, that would be 1 in 10 billion. And you would say, there's no way you could have got all those pennies. This game's rigged. And I would tell you, you're exactly right. This is the design. It shows the designer. And he said, the design of the universe and the design of this planet is infinitely more than 1 in 10 billion. It's amazing. All right, keep going, Josh. Would you read what's the next verse on there?
24. Okay. Therefore, God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
All right. They exchanged the truth for a lie. How many of you have gotten presents that you knew immediately you didn't like? And you're thinking, maybe I'm the only one. What can I give for them? I'm going to take that back and get something I want.
Yes.
Have you ever, anybody ever done that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, a few of us are honest. Okay. We exchange, he's saying, we've exchanged the truth for a lie. We've taken it back, like you would the shirt you didn't like. You would go to the store, you would exchange it and get something you want. God's giving you the truth. You're going down, you're saying, I'm purposely exchanging it, and I'm swapping it for a lie. And actually, there's a definite article in there. It says the lie. You're exchanging truth for the lie. What do you think that lie is? What do you think the lie is? Huh? Well, the devil, that's his. He's the father of lies. Yes. What is it? Whoa.
There is no God.
In Genesis 3:5, somebody read that. That's in the beginning of your Bible. Genesis 3:5. It's so weird to have everybody with their electronic devices. I don't like that anybody. They get there first. But I still like to hear those pages rustle. Yes, go ahead, Ash. Good job.
For God knows that on the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing your God.
Yes. The devil started off with the lie. He said, hey, just sin, eat this fruit. God told you, don't worry about it. Just eat the fruit anyway. Don't listen to God, and you'll be like God. And people make images of man and birds and animals that they worship as God. Isn't that weird to you? We're devolving. We're not evolving. It didn't start off as a dumb guy that started making, you know, idols of and work our way up to God. It's the opposite. We walk with God in the garden, and we're devolving into worshiping animals. And if you don't think you do that today, if you're a Chicago Bears fan, you can't tell me that you don't worship some of those guys on there. Why? Bears, lions, whatever. You get the idea. You worship movie stars. People worship movie stars, football stars. Listen, you know, I wonder, even you notice the crowning achievement of America, right? The automobile. Did you notice that? They started off making that. It's just an odd coincidence, maybe. Maybe. It's just a thought. They started naming those after men, right? Because they all glorify man, right? So it was named what? Ford, Lincoln, Dodge, Chrysler, Edsel, you know.
Where'd Chevy come from?
BMW. Louis Chevrolet.
What?
Then they started changing. Then around the 50s or 60s, they started Ford Falcon, then the Impala, and then, you know, just the Cougar, right?
Mustang?
The Mustang, the Pinto exploded, Pinto died. And it just kind of devolved into, now we worship beetles and vipers and cobras. You know what I'm trying to say? And so, but we exchange the truth. Listen, God has given you something so precious. Listen, Jesus said himself, he said, I am the truth. He said, my Holy Spirit is truth. In John chapter 17:17, it says, my word is truth. So that's why you line anything that anybody says up with his word. If it matches, you accept it. If it doesn't, you kick it out the door. Simple as that. There's a great thing in Proverbs 23:23. I got it up on the screen here. Hopefully you can see it in light. But it says this. It says, buy the truth and do not sell it, and gain wisdom, instruction, and understanding. Buy the truth. Listen, if God is speaking to you in his word, and he's spoken to your heart, you hold on to that. You don't let that go for nothing. You hold on to it, and it will become so valuable to you, you'll never want to let it go. And that's the truth. Buy the truth and do not sell it. You know, I remember a time when I used to do, back when I had lots of cash, when I used to work in the computer industry, did sales and purchasing. And I bought, you guys heard of Danka? Mm-hmm. Maybe not now, but it was many years ago when I was young. I had a ponytail, anyway. Computer guy. And we bought Danka on the London Stock Exchange for $3. Okay? Before it even came to America. And so we invested in it, and what happened, I bought it, it went up to like 26, and I think I sold it. I was like, wow, you know, as an 18-year-old kid, so much money, you know. Now, if I would have just held on to that, it went up to like 60, split, went up to 60 again, split, went up to, I would have been a millionaire. You know, and how much more is God's word? You hold on to it. You buy the truth. This is what it means, Hezekiah. It means sometimes, like, for example, we had those properties that we bought. A lot of people told us that that was a dumb move years ago, 20 years ago, to buy a property and hold on to it. Who says not to? They said, sell it, flip it. No, we're going to just buy it and hold on to it because it's going to bring so much profit in the future. And so it's how much more with God's words to buy it and hold on to it. Don't sell it. Yeah. Don't compromise it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Proverbs 19, actually, I think that's Psalm. I have Proverbs up there, but I think I meant the Psalm.
Proverbs 23:23. Buy the truth, that's right.
Yeah, that one's right, but there's another one. Just somebody go to Psalm 19:11-12. We'll see. It says, sometimes I write stuff down and I forget. I'm ADD boy. Psalm 19:11-12. Psalm 19 is talking about the heavens declare the glory of God. Then it talks about the importance of his word. What does that say? Psalm 19:11-12. Somebody want to read that? I'll give somebody else a shot. Good job, Ash. I'm proud of you. Two in a row, baby. Two in a row. Okay, who else?
Psalm 19:11-12.
What does it say? Go ahead.
By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward.
Yeah, that's speaking of the word of God. Start again. Go ahead.
Okay. By them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. Who can discern his errors? Forgive my hidden faults.
Mm-hmm. By keeping them, there is great reward. That's an amazing psalm to me. I love it. You know? And if you look at verse 10, it says they're more precious than gold, than pure gold. The word is our greatest possession. It's sweeter than honey on the comb. It's our greatest pleasure. By them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. It's our greatest protection, and it's our greatest provision. That's the word. That's what the word is to us. All right, back to Romans. Josh, I'm picking on you a lot today. Hope it's okay.
Yep. All right, 26.
Bring it!
All right. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions, for their women exchanged natural relations for those that are contrary to nature. Keep going.
Okay, it says, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Yes. So let me ask you a question. Is lust a sin?
Yes.
Okay. Well, what about, I'm a guy, and I'm attracted to women. And I'm sure some of you women are attracted to some men. Is that wrong? Help me to understand. Yes?
Jesus says that if you look at a woman with lust, you have committed adultery within your heart.
So am I then, because I'm attracted to somebody, is that wrong? Am I lusting then?
No.
Is that natural?
When you look at them only as what their body can do for you.
Ah, I see. So what you're saying to me is that a guy is going to be naturally attracted to a woman, and a woman's going to be naturally attracted. That's okay. But what you're saying is when you start thinking about it in your mind and
when
seeing that as
no
more
mind.
Of an object.
Yeah, when they have no mind.
Basically, you're thinking just in that way. When your mind starts going and you think of them more, that's lust. And you're right, Neely.
It's fine affection.
And that's the difference. It's okay to be attracted. Don't feel guilty about that. I don't want any of the teens to say, well, I thought she was cute. Am I lusty? No, but if you continue to along those thoughts and dress or whatever you do, then it turns to lust. Ephesians 5:3 says this. We're in such a sex-filled culture, you guys. Is a hint that bad? Can a hint hurt? Ephesians 5:3 says this. and you guys might not want to hear this. Listen, I'm the delivery boy, okay? And you guys do whatever you want with the message. Don't get mad at me. You tailored this for me. I don't know that you're going to be. Listen, this is what it says, okay? Ephesians 5:3. But among you, he's speaking to, who's he talking to here?
Us.
Who's us specifically?
Saints.
Believers.
Saints, Christians, believers. If you call yourself a believer or Christian, then you're the you that he's going to speak about here. Okay? But among you, me, there should not.
No, must not.
What does must mean?
I think that you need to go back to English class.
Absolutely.
What did you say?
I think you need to go back to English class.
Maybe. Or maybe I'm trying to pull something out. One of the two. But must means?
Absolute.
Yes. Got to do it. Not an option, right? So I want you to think about this. And you're not going to get this in a lot of churches, but there should not be. No, it says, God is saying to you, but among you, there must not. And then, if that wasn't clear enough for you, because we can justify anything, can't we? Let's be honest. Right? I'm the most creative when I'm trying to justify my sins. I can really be good at it. But what does God's word say? Okay, that's what we have to go to. There must not be even a hint of sexual immorality. And that means, for the folks who don't know, you're not married, you're having sex before marriage or that kind of stuff, that's what that is. There must not even be a hint in your life. I want you to think about that. Must not, you, I pointed at somebody, sorry. You, I think. That's going to cost me. You, point me, must not even be a hint. Why is he? Why is God so upset? Why is that so? What is he making such a big deal out of it? What does he want? Not even a hint of it.
Well, because the devil will take that and runs.
Oh, really? Why?
Because every other sin is a sin outside the body. Every sexual immorality is a sin against God's temple. It's a sin against your own body.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Listen, folks. Listen, or of any kind of impurity, greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Listen, one of two things is happening. You're either giving glory to God by your life, or you're taking glory from God. It's not about being legalistic. I'm not being legalistic. I'm not saying this. The Bible says it. Not even a hint. Well, you know, we've been living together, or I'm just sleeping with my girlfriend or boyfriend. No! If you're calling yourself a Christian, it can't be a hint. Well, we don't do it that much. We already did it. We're already married. I think that we're married. We already had sex. So I think. Don't. You know what? Excuse. Listen, and I've heard it. Well, this is my favorite is, well, it's like we're married because we're living together. No, it's not. It's like we're married because we've already had sex. No, before marriage. No. That's fornication. If having sex, if that was the thing that made you married, then there'd be no such thing as fornication. You understand that? The Bible separates adultery and fornication. Okay? I know, this is uncomfortable, but it's what the Bible says, guys. We have to stand on it.
Well, don't pass the greed business.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, how many of your churches? We have really lost our moral compass. Now sexual immorality is like a suggestion.
Amen.
What you choose to do with that information is your own business. And the people who are... Now, be careful, because if you're... Anyway. Yes?
I think the next verse even confirms even more so that there shouldn't be a hint. You know, says, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. And that's, you know, it's that hint, that, you know, that, yes, that dirty joke, that whatever. It's,
yes,
not even that.
Yes, exactly. Good word. Yes.
Also, I think, you know, how you're thinking that God's kind of like fully against it, you know? Well, actually, he's just trying to help you spare your body. body from getting
yes.
from doing.
Yes, being sexually transmitted disease or whatever. Yes, God wants it to be a certain way. He's got a design for it. He's got an order for it. You know, I didn't make the order. He did. And you know what? And God designed sex. Sex isn't bad. Sex is a wonderful thing between a husband and a wife. And you got, for those of you guys, well, it's the like we're married thing, or because we this, or because we that, or whatever. Listen, one of the two of you in the relationship knows you're not married. I'm just being honest. Somebody in there, one of you is thinking, well, it's like we're married. The other one's thinking, well, I know we're not. It's just like in the garden. And I have to say this, usually it's the woman. Listen, don't get mad at me. Just wait. Wait. I'm feeling the stones. I'm just saying, 20 years of ministry, usually, not always, usually it's the woman who is deceived who thinks, well, it's almost like we're married. We're kind of the same way in the eyes of God. We're almost. So let's just count it. And the guy over there is willfully saying, I know we're not married. I know I shouldn't be doing it. I'm just... She was going to do wrong. That's how it usually is.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. I love this. It's impossible, possible. Same thing. It is possible for you to not be sexually immoral in our culture.
Yes.
And then Hector said it, you know, run from sexual sin. No other sin so clearly affects the body as this one does. For sexual immorality is sin against your own body. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's what it says. And that's what we need to do. That's 1 Corinthians 6:18.
Now, what would you say, like we were talking
liar!
About...
Liar! Oh, sorry.
You know, with the hint of any of those things, the sexual morality, the greed, or... So that's the problem. What's the cure to that? You know, you repent when you... You know, I don't think there's any guy, you know, I can speak for men, but there's been times where you have that hint, you know, or there's something that you've gone past that line of this is right and now it's wrong. Do you repent? What do you do, you know?
What's a good question. What would you do? You know what?
The question is, you know, now we know it, you can't have a hint of it. Now, you know, I know for most men, even for myself, there has been hints before in my life, you know.
Yeah.
And the question is, now we have the problem, the diagnosis that can, the hint, what's the cure to that? You know, do you repent?
Yeah.
You fall on your face and do you change, you know? And I think,
repent,
you know, for us,
what?
For the youth, or for any men, yeah, you
yeah.
repent. You don't just give up, oh man, I'm cursed or this is impossible. You fall on your face, you acknowledge, you have no excuse, you know,
mm-hmm.
to me, you have to acknowledge
absolutely.
That you've
well,
sinned.
Because then the enemy can easily take over and say, well, I can't do anything about it anyway. It's just going to keep happening. So, oh well, you know.
That's right.
Right away, I think it's you hold those thoughts. Just like with any thought, you take those thoughts captive. You say, no, wait, not going to have those thoughts. Lord, help me.
Yes. And you think upon what is true, good, praise. If you're a Christian, you have the power of the Holy Spirit. You can repent tomorrow. Repent just means to change directions of your mind and heart. You go in this direction, and you're going to repent and go the other direction. God has given you that power, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Listen, don't listen to your own mind. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to your friends. You choose to honor the Lord. You choose to rely on Him. And as you choose to obey Him, He will give you the power to obey Him. That's the God. And you know what? This is, people are thinking like sexual immorality is crazy. Okay, this was on The View like a week ago. An exchange, hit the light for a second. This is an exchange on daytime talk show, The View. I've never watched it, but I know there's some good ones on there. They talk about things that are super popular. It's an eye-opening warning to Christian. This was on, I think, World News Daily. But basically, the headline was, Fidelity is a Moral Crazy Code. And is that the
name?
Yeah, Crazy Moral Code. Basically, an exchange on a daytime talk show, The View, is eye-opening to Christians. The all-woman panel, nothing against it, it's just what it is, on ABC talk show was discussing allegations against Senator Ted Cruz, it was like a week or two ago, about he had an extramarital affair when the panelist, Michelle Collins, unloaded on the GOP candidate. I, for one, hope it is true, just to show what a hypocrite he would be, Collins told her colleagues. She followed that statement with an invective against all Christians, claiming that Cruz lives by a crazy moral code, and told her co-hosts she loves to watch people like that fall. What does that statement right there say? She loves to watch people like that. What does it say?
She has no faith at all.
Yes, but what else does it say?
She likes to see Christians fail.
Yeah, but what else?
Misery wants
no. Yes, 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 yes. All right, but what? There's something else.
To see Christians fall.
She hates God.
Yeah, but something else.
She's trying to prove that their cold is, there's no such thing as this moral cold, that we're living by something fake, that we're living by something that isn't necessarily real, that the way society is right now, this is the way it should be.
But even more so.
She's using it as an excuse to justify her own lifestyle.
She loves to watch people like that fall. She's watching. People are watching you. You are either giving them a hint of your sexual morality, you're not. You're either giving glory to the Lord or you're taking glory from the Lord. They're watching you. She loves to watch when people like that fall. Collins immediately backed down from the statement when confronted by co-host Candace Cameron, a self-professed Christian. Crazy moral code, Beer shot back. He lives by Christian values from what he says he does. How is that a crazy moral code? Hebrews 13:4, the marriage bed should be honored by all. It's not. You know, marriage is almost getting obsolete. Why do it? Because the Lord says to do it. And it says, God will judge, it's not up on here in the Hebrews 13:4, God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterer. It says so. You have a promise of God. Yes?
From experience.
Yes. Yes.
You will be found out.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes in a public way, sometimes not so public.
But God's so merciful, yes. But that's why if you go forward now, listen, if anyone was here and was sinning in some way like this, right, and came forward and repented, no one would mock you. No one would make fun of you. Just the opposite. Everyone here, hopefully, would rally around you and praise the Lord and pray over you and help you and encourage you.
Amen.
Because we all want you to see you go the same direction and honor the Lord. Nobody's here to throw stones at you. People are here to help you. Because we've been there ourselves. Right?
You should not lay with a man unless you're married. That's correct.
Yes, this is how the message puts it. Honor marriage and guard the sacredness of sexual intimacy between a wife and a husband.
As long as there's no sex.
Well, you know what? Don't even give a hint. Don't even give a hint of it.
No
hint. And you did say this? Yeah, that was earlier. And I just noticed this lustfully. Okay. Let's finish these last few verses out. Sorry it's so long, guys, but let's finish the last verse. Josh?
Okay, 27. And the men likewise gave up natural relations with women and were consumed with passion for one another, men committing shameless acts with men and receiving them in themselves the due penalty for their error.
Keep going all the way.
And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. They're all full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them.
Yeah, hey, let's be encouraged. Listen, guys, I'm just going to close up these last, give me just two more minutes. I just want to hit that line, Joe. We're coming to a time, guys, where there, well, yeah, that scripture there where it says even the women exchange their natural relationships for unnatural women. You know, usually when the women start to fall, we're talking about lesbianism there. When that starts to fall, women are usually, in most cultures, the last stance in morality. And when they start to fall, it just all goes downhill. You know, we're looking at these blurred lines, right? Even in bathrooms. Male, female. Do you know the words he uses here, guys, by the way? You know, for male, when he's saying men committed indecent, he doesn't use the normal words for men and women like he would on a bathroom. He uses the words back in male and female. In other words, when my sons were born, the people on the birth certificate weren't confused. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That is a male, very clearly. I would know what a female looks like very clearly. If you're going to blur those lines, right, you better just, well, let's just leave that blank. Because maybe they might want to be. You see what I'm saying? Listen, Franklin Graham did this. Target just started this. It's got a half a million signature records already. They did something last year where they stopped the boys and girls. They made gender-neutral toys. They did that last year, and I went and talked with them. I don't know if you guys heard about that. Target is my favorite place to shop. Yes, it is. I love Target. So I talked to them about this. They said, oh, it has nothing to do with the... we're just putting all the toys together.
Oh, okay. Well,
all right. Well, now, for those of you who don't know, Franklin Graham has got this. Basically, they're boycotting Target because Target's letting employees and guests use the restrooms or fitting rooms that corresponds with what they think their gender identity is. So that means you could be in a Target bathroom as a woman, and if I just felt like walking in that bathroom and sitting in the stall right next to you, I'd be okay. Or maybe being in the fitting room with you. If I thought, well, you know what, today I feel more feminine. I'm just going to go in with the girls and have a look in there. Are you crazy? Now it's like up to a million. I just checked it, it's like over a million. You know, I mean, that's just crazy, guys. AFA, American Family Association. Now I'm thinking, I can't even check. I think that's just crazy, guys. It was God himself who united a man and a woman in marriage, Genesis 2:24. Therefore, it's a divine institution, not a human one. God, not man, has the right to define the terms. Male and female. It's against even nature. I mean, it's so obvious. Duh! You know what I'm saying? You can't say that that's normal. And listen to this. If you're struggling with homosexuality here, God is telling you something here. These passages are clear. Listen, if you're struggling with lesbianism or homosexuality, some of you have come out of that lifestyle. And now you're serving the Lord. And praise God for that. But if you're still struggling with that lifestyle, maybe, you know what? God loves you. I see these people, God hates crap. That's terrible. God loves you. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He loved a sinner like me and like you. And if we get haughty against the sin of homosexuality, well, how about your adultery? Or how about your sin of greed and impurity and all those things? Right? We should look at it as one sinner, one wretched but same sinner reaching out to another one. That's how we should look at it, right? Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Do you understand? We do it because we love them, not because we hate them. We love them. And God wants to rescue them from the pit. Listen to 1 Corinthians 6:9-10. Don't be deceived. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, adulterers, male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, thieves, greedy, drunks, slanderers, swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God.
What if they got the Chinese dollar and got saved?
What?
What if they get the complete Chinese and got saved? Would that still be simple?
You know what? I'm sorry, I don't understand.
If they had a transgender Chinese.
What if I went from being Dara to Darren?
I'm sorry?
What if I went from being Dara to Darren?
You know what? Let me tell you. God wants you just the way you are. God will take you in whatever mess condition you are. I mean, if some of you would have known me or my wife, I hear some wonderful things said about us. Well, not all the time. But if you knew what we were like before we were saved, pretty terrible stuff. This guy's a pastor? By the grace of God. That's how we should look at it. But that's right. When you're in Christ, you're a new creation. But think about this. We have a moral dilemma as a Christian, right? We have to reach out to everyone. It would be wrong for us not to reach out to someone who's struggling with lesbianism and homosexuality and tell them this. This says they're not going to, if they continue to practice it, they're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. I have a moral dilemma. If I really love them, I'm going to reach out to them.
Yes. But see, then there's the other thing. If they've done the change, and then they got saved, mm-hmm. and then they're dating the wrong kind.
Well, I think with that problem and so many other sin problems, you really need to go as God leads and God convicts you. Yes. Because two people can have the exact same problem, and God is going to direct them differently.
I will talk to you about that in more detail after the sermon, after the service. So I hear now. I understand what you're saying. So, but that's going to take a few more minutes, and I think we've already gone over. So I just kind of want to.
That's fine.
Yeah, but I will talk with you. That's a good. I understand what you're trying to say. But the bottom line is, if you look at Revelation, it's the same thing. I think it's the last line on here. But hey, by the way, I probably wouldn't get into this. The lifespan of a homosexual, by the way, on average, is 24 years shorter than a heterosexual. Did you know that?
Wow.
There's consequences for sin.
Yes,
the suicide rate jumped over 200% if they've engaged in a homosexual lifestyle, guys. Isn't that amazing? I want to get into some of this stuff. Sexual partners. Does it really harm anyone? Yes, it harms the person. Okay, let's just leave that. And what's next? You know, legalized prostitution. They're going to bring down the age of consent in Europe. Everybody wants to be like Europe. The age of consent in Europe is from 13 to 16 in European countries. 13! That means an adult man, my age, could sleep with a 13-year-old little girl.
Absolutely not.
That's devolving, folks. I'm telling you, we need to stand with the Lord and stand on the Word no matter what. And I'll just leave it at that. Let's take a minute and let's pray. And I'm sorry, I know there wasn't a lot of time with discussion. We'll discuss a lot more next week. But we have to cover a lot of things. Is there anything that anybody wants to say before I close out in prayer? Sorry we went long. Thank you for being patient. Father God, I just want to say thank you for your word that does not return void, Lord God. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for helping me just to be a faithful messenger of what your word says, Lord. I pray that you would take whatever was said today from your word and that you would make it alive in people's hearts and minds, Lord God. That you would breathe your Holy Spirit's life into it, Lord God. And whether it's something that we want to hear or something we don't want to hear, Lord God, that we would receive it in Jesus' name. And if there's something that we need to change or repent or whatever, Lord God, we would just do it, Lord God. Whether it's sexual immorality, greed, whatever, homosexuality, we would turn that over to you and repent, Lord God. Whatever it is, you have provided the solution to whatever sin debacle we've gotten ourselves into, Lord God. And you can break any bond and break any chain and give us that freedom. It is for freedom you have set us free, Lord God. And Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that every person here that's in bondage in some way, Lord God, that you would break those bonds, you break those chains, you break those shackles in Jesus Christ's name, Lord God, and that you would give them the freedom and the joy that comes from obeying you and living a life right with you. We can't even do it without you. We need you for everything, Lord. But we're asking for your power. We're asking for your conviction. We're asking for your encouragement. And I pray no one who would hear would leave with condemnation. If people leave with conviction, that's from you, God. I say do it. If they leave with condemnation, I pray, Lord, that you would help them to throw that out the door, because there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, bless these people, encourage them, strengthen them, lift them up, Lord God. Help them to live lives worthy of the gospel. We love you and bless you and praise you and thank you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. God bless you guys. We'll see you Tuesday. Thank you. Wednesday.